Welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Garda Grainne Doherty will be joining me very shortly with the latest appeals and information from An Garda Síochána, so stay tuned for that. A caller says there's a lot of traffic going into Fáin. Motorists should make sure they're leaving plenty of time because it's so heavy. I wonder why. On Irish passports, a caller says, I'm from Glasgow and I've noticed on social media that people don't like people that don't live in Ireland getting Irish passports. Really, I haven't seen that. To be honest with you, I suppose it depends in the circles that you mix or what you're exposed to on social media or the algorithms. But I've never really seen a pushback against people from outside of Ireland having Irish passports. But that doesn't mean it's not happening, by the way, just to be clear. Read the roads. Last week, lights on Maclay side were working, but out of order on the opposite side. Very dangerous when crossing, indeed. Very dangerous. No doubt about that. I presume you mean particularly, obviously, if not exclusively, for pedestrians. Lots of you commenting on the election, of course. I know people have lost interest in the government since the budget. It was a lazy budget that left the people down. The government have no idea of the poverty that people are suffering. They're not in touch with the Irish ordinary people. This election has backfired on them. Another, Micheál Martin and Simon Harris are past their sell-by date, done nothing in the budget for the working class. So it seems budget has featured in quite a few people's decision-making process. Another, many of Fianna Fáil TDs feel indebted to Micheál Martin, who helped the party grow 150 in seats since becoming the leader. Galway West by-election will be the first test of the new United Left movement. Presidential election, a once-off between two very different candidates in ability and appeal. I do wonder how well any collection of people, it's different with two parties, but how a collection of individuals can sort of cooperate when it comes to sort of a general election. So I think I'd share where you're coming from to some extent there. Another, Micheál Martin and Simon Harris were so anxious to get into power that they sacrificed all principles, and it's quite clear they have no vision for our country except to cling to power, believes a listener. And I'd also be very keen to hear some, if you're feeling in a pro-government mood, get in touch with us as well. I don't want it to be one side bashing, but these are the comments that are coming in. Could you ask John, would he have a reason why Sinn Féin didn't have their own candidate? Would it be they hadn't anyone chance on their own, or maybe they couldn't get a person without skeletons in their cupboard? Another, we're not far right, Greg. We're 6,000 plus Gavin votes and 56% of the voters who didn't vote. Yes, Greg, have to laugh when I hear Martin and Harris saying about the biggest party's success, etc. One time, and I remember either was kingpin in Irish politics. Now they're in bed together to keep power. And as we speak, needing the help of Lowry to keep power. Now with this presidential result, it's even further demise for both big parties. They're definitely a sea change. Unfortunately, the alternative doesn't fill me with confidence, but they will get their chance. And I was debating this on Saturday and sort of trying to get out of our panel. Who steps forward now at this point? You know, who, if there is going to be a change in politics, you've got the sort of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael on one side, and then you've got this coalition of the left potentially on the other. But I think there's a big amount of people that still are underrepresented or feel underrepresented. Is there a party there? It's very hard to launch a party. I don't think, you know, Aintu can necessarily step into that space, or maybe they can, I don't know. They've got their own controversies to deal with at the moment. But, you know, I don't see a political grouping there at the moment that there's a lot of people that would vote for. In other words, actually, the 6,000-odd people in Donegal that spoiled their vote, or was it four? But either way, you know, the 12.7%, who do they vote for? And who do the people that didn't bother going out to vote for if they don't necessarily like this left alliance or Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael together? I just think there's a massive gap there, to be honest with you. Read the election. Over 6,000 people consciously spoiled their votes in this election. A vote greater than Thomas Pringle ended up with 5,289 in the last general election. Yet Thomas talked down that 6K and called them far right and that they should be ignored. That spoiled vote went out and will go out again in the next general election. It is an intelligent, conscious thinking vote. Nationally, the 213,738 spoiled votes will determine the next government if they are organised. The 213K have been ignored continuously, election after election, law after law. Now they're realising they have some power. The spoiled vote has succeeded in ending Micheál Martin's time as Fianna Fáil leader. It's just, they say, a matter of time. Another caller asking, can we listen back to your coverage of the election on Saturday? Yes. And I mean, obviously, in terms of the actual vote itself, it was so one-sided. It's really more of an analysis of the lead-up to the election, post-election, where we might be going. We had a great team down there. Michaela Clark, Caroline Orr, of course. Also, John McAteer, Dr. Joe Kelly, and Paddy Rooney, and myself. And we had others that joined us as well from Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Independent. So that's on our YouTube channel. It's not that far back. It's only a couple of shows back. So just go onto the YouTube channel if you want to watch it on the big screen, or on the Facebook pages as well, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport. I'm sick listening to this name calling far right. If you've any semblance to a conservative, common sense, morally right opinion, a certain group with woke liberal views just want to bully them into silence and submission. I think that far right will become right wing. People kind of thought, I remember when Charlie Kirk was being referred to as right wing, as if that was some sort of a slur. It's not really. And, you know, you do get right wing politics. And I think really what will happen is that we might see a more defined left, centre and right wing in politics. And those that are more conservative will become sort of, you know, you'll see a right wing party or the emergence of right wing candidates. Far right, I suppose, will start to become the people that are obviously very out there, racist or what have you. And I'm not saying that's where it's at now. Do you understand? I hope you understand where I'm coming from. So I think as we more move into a more defined sort of political spectrum here, if that's the way we go, that far right will become, you know, very, very extreme people with very extreme views, far left equally. And you'll have sort of left wing, centrist, sort of right wing politics. So I think that far right will become right wing to sort of encompass the greater population, but you'll always have far right elements that are you know, disruptive or rebel rousing or whatever it might be. That's my guess. I don't know how it'll go, but the sort of the far right moniker, it's not useful for any party or person to use it generally to speak of a good chunk of the population. I think that will always be there for certain individuals, but you know, people of certain politics, I think there'll just be a reclassification of that. And it's up to people, I suppose, really to embrace one of those. You know, say, I'm not far right, but I'm right wing or whatever. You know, that's what they did in the United States. Simon Harris and Micheál must go. That's the bottom line here, says a listener. The plan was once again backfired. Why? What way is this to run a country, for God's sake, they say. Another, Pringle's reaction to the spoiled votes on Saturday with Greg was pathetic. He could join Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael or Sinn Féin any day in ignoring the concerns of the electorate. Any politician that ignores the amount of spoiled votes doesn't deserve a seat. And again, for some reason or another, in our election coverage and on the show, we went viral again. We seem to be every time we turn around, there's a clip taken from the programme or what have you, and we end up going viral across the country. And it's not for any controversial reasons. I think we're just doing our job. But anyway, I don't see it with any other stations, but certainly it seems to happen an awful lot here. All right, back after the bingo numbers, we've got a Grainne Doherty and Community Garda information for this week.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
20 past 10 on Tuesday the 28th of October. Time for Community Garda information, and in with us again is Garda Grainne Doherty from the Letterkenny Garda Station. Grainne, thanks so much for calling up as always.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Right, quite a bit to get through, so let's crack on with the appeals. We'll start off with a burglary in Dunfanaghy.
Yes, Garda, you're appealing for information in relation to this. A burglary incident occurred in the area of Kill Park, Dunfanaghy, between September 27th and October 25th, so this was only recently discovered that this had occurred. The owners of a holiday home in that area returned to their property only to discover that it had been entered and used between those dates by somebody who's unknown to them. No damage was caused to the property, and it's not believed that anything was stolen from it. We're appealing to anybody, particularly residents in that area, who might have observed any suspicious activity, people or vehicles in that area between those dates, to get in touch with Gardaí and Ballyshannon on 071 985 85 30. And as with all of our incidents today, the Garda confidential line can be contacted on 1800 666 111.
So the person sort of resided in the property for...
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Now, second appeal, it's actually two instances in the Glenties area.
Yes. So the burglaries again. Unfortunately, always, Greg, at this time of year, we see the incidents of burglary starting to creep up again, you know, as the evenings are darker, longer nights. These are burglaries, two burglaries. They occurred in the area of Mina Linehan and Glenties. Both of these incidents are believed to have occurred between 4:30 p.m. on Friday, the 24th of October, and 3 p.m. the following day, Saturday, the 25th of October. One of these properties, which was vacant, was entered. The back door was forced open and entry gained. The copper pipes were cut throughout the property and they were stolen, along with the copper cylinder and five radiators. The other property, it was also vacant. It was entered through an unlocked front door. Again, the copper pipes were cut throughout the house, I believe from the attic also, right throughout the house, and they were stolen alongside the copper cylinder. So we're appealing to anybody who might be able to assist with relevant information to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530. Anybody, we want to hear from them, anybody who might have observed any type of suspicious activity or vehicles in that area between those dates.
Yeah, well, I think it was last week or the week before, we were very much talking about, are we going to see an increase in this type of activity, which means, of course, we have to be very security conscious of our homes that we live in, but also, you know, new builds, vacant properties, Grania. What's the advice?
Yes, so with the darker evenings now upon us, the longer nights, we're just reminding everybody of the importance of locking up and lighting up. Ensure your property is well secured at all times, that whether you're residing in the property or, as you said, if it's a vacant property, ensure that it's always secured. Leave some lights on inside and out, even if you're not going to be at home. Leave the place well lit up. Don't keep large amounts of cash in your house. If you have valuables such as jewellery, antique jewellery or expensive jewellery that you must keep in your home, please ensure that you have a good quality safe and affix it to a wall to store your jewellery in. And take a record of your jewellery and photograph any expensive jewellery that you might have in your possession. Always report any type of suspicious activity in your area or neighbourhood to Gardaí.
Can I hold you up on that one? I think that this is a critical part of this, and it's always been the case, regardless of if there's a guard in every corner. You know, we are the eyes and ears of each other. And I know there are organised neighbourhood watch and all that type of stuff, but I just wonder if we should twitch the curtains a bit more. Do you know what I mean? That we're, I wonder, are we sort of going for someone else to do it, or it's nothing, or it doesn't affect me? You
know? Sometimes maybe people are hesitant to ring. They think it's nothing and being silly. You know, it's not. Please do ring us if you see anything at all that stands out. Any, even a vehicle in your area, if you see it driving slowly past houses, pulling in at vacant houses, anything, just report it.
Yeah, because the way I would look at it is if I was standing on a pier and I saw an empty kayak float past, I know exactly what I would do.
Yeah,
you know, so on land, if you see something that you know yourself doesn't seem right, do the same thing. You ring the emergency service.
Exactly. And often after the event, when we would carry out house-to-house inquiries following, you know, a spate of burglary, say, in a neighbourhood, and people would then say, you know, funny, I did see a car in the area that I didn't recognise. I thought it was a bit funny at the time, but ring us when it's happening. Ring us and let us know when you see that car, when you see that person or that activity happening. Ring us straight away so we can dispatch a car out to the area to check it out.
Now, we're also sort of bogus callers, I suppose, calling around, and the next piece of advice overlaps into that as well.
Yeah, and I know it was widely reported in the media, I think not too far from here, the other side of the border recently, there was a bogus caller entered an elderly lady's home. And we had bogus callers in Donegal within the past few weeks also selling generators and offering to carry out you know, various types of DIY work at people's homes. So we're advising people, particularly anybody who lives alone, well, everybody really, don't allow anybody access to your home unless you know them or you're confident that they're genuine and have a valid reason to be there. So, for instance, if you had booked, you know, maybe somebody to come to carry out a genuine tradesperson to come to your home, don't let anybody into your house unless you know them.
Yeah.
Use a chain lock also for extra security.
For sure, because we know how this works. It's been around for years. We know the services that are offered. We know the items that are offered. But we also know in this day and age, everyone's flat out. You know what I mean? No one's coming around offering work. So then what it comes down to then, it must be the persuasive abilities of the con person potentially.
Yeah.
And that's what we really, I think, ultra need to be protective of. Not be afraid to upset. Don't feel you have to open the door. Don't be afraid to ring the guards. Because I think everybody knows that no one's got spare tar from a job the council are doing up the road, and rather than throw it out, they're going to throw it on your drive.
Yeah, no genuine tradesperson's going to call, as you said. They're not going to call door to door. You know, they advertise in the official manner. They don't call door to door offering their services. But I think where some people are caught out maybe is not maybe so much tradespeople, but people that are there, you know, purporting to be there on behalf of a company, maybe a, you know, an electrical company or carrying out a survey or things like that. No matter who the person is, if you don't know them, don't let them into your house. That's it. You know,
yeah, that chain lock's a great defence, because you can open the door and not feel ignorant, but the door's closed effectively.
And we do have bogus caller cards too, if anybody would like to call to the station, any of the 24-hour stations, Buncrana, Milford, Ballyshannon or Letterkenny. We have bogus caller cards there that you keep inside your door with a pen. It's numerous cards within an A4 sheet. You tear off the cards if somebody's at your door. You pass it out through the letterbox with a pen and tell them to write their details on it, and that you'll be in touch with them should you require their services.
Instantly shows that you know what's what.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
And also, we have our own crime prevention officer. His services are there anyway as well too, for any bits and pieces of advice or maybe if someone's organising something.
Sergeant Fergus McGrory there. He's our Divisional Crime Prevention Officer. He's available if anybody wants any advice for additional security measures around their business or home. He can be contacted in Letterkenny on 91 67 100. And we just, before I finish on that, I'd like to ask people also, please do, over the winter months now, the coming months, please check in on elderly and vulnerable neighbours, family members and friends. And if it's somebody who lives alone who you're aware of that doesn't have many family members maybe in their area and you do think they need a bit of extra assistance, don't hesitate to contact us and we'll get the relevant services in to assist them.
Let's go to Donegal Tanks. A spate of instances, but hopefully some progress in the investigation.
Yes, so over the course of the 26th and 27th of October, a series of thefts, so five in total, occurred from parked unsecured vehicles in the Donegal town area. Items that were stolen varied from small amounts of cash, clothing, headwear, costume, jewellery and tools. A man was arrested in the early hours of this morning, the 28th of October, in connection with these incidents, and he remains in custody for questioning. So as part of our ongoing investigation into these incidents, we're appealing to anybody who might have travelled in the following areas with a dash cam to make that footage available to us. So Ross Moore, Drumroosk West, between 8pm and 11pm on Monday the 27th, October 27th, Orchard Park, Donegal Town, between 2:30 a.m. and 3:30 a.m. in the early hours of Monday, October 27th. So a vehicle was also entered then in the area of Umwale Conora Avenue, Donegal Town, between 9 p.m. on Sunday, October 26th, and 7:30 a.m. the following morning, Monday, October 27th. So if anybody in that area or any of the areas mentioned above observed any type of suspicious activity between those times, the times given, we're asking them to call Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530 or the Garda Confidential line again on 1800 666 111.
Yeah, and more advice in relation to this, not referencing, you know, the incident you've just referenced, but people are prepared to play the percentages. Try a lot of car doors and the ones that are open are the ones that are open. So we've all made the mistake, right? It's not victim blaming, but what should we be doing to best protect our vehicles and their contents?
Yes, well, the number one thing is, and we're steady repeating this, please lock your vehicle. But this doesn't matter if you have it parked in a car park in the town, at a shopping centre, or in your own private residence in a driveway, lock it up. If your vehicle is left unlocked, it makes life very easy for the opportunist criminal to succeed. Try to always park in a secure and well-lit location if possible. Don't leave cash or valuables in your vehicle. And we understand with regards workmen, you know, it's not possible for them to remove their tools on a daily basis from their van when they're leaving it parked up overnight. But we do advise that any expensive tools should be property marked. Any details such as serial numbers or individual markings, maybe sometimes people scratch a marking onto their own tools, you know, log that detail and photograph it also. Don't leave any tools in sight within your van, and again, ensure that your work van is locked at all times. And again, always report any suspicious activity around vehicles and public car parks or in your own neighbourhood to Gardaí immediately.
Yeah, listen, I know what I'd be doing. You can get a SIM card for 10 quid, a camera for 25, and have it pointed at the back door, constantly monitoring. It'd be 11 or 12 quid a month security, and as soon as the door's open, it goes bloopers, the alarm does.
And a lot of people now have the video, the doorbell camera too, and they have their car parked in their driveway. But look, again, you need to have your car locked.
Yeah.
It's all right having the footage of the event after the event, but
100%,
lock up.
Yeah, but anything that you can do to... There are measures that could be taken when your livelihood's in a van.
Yeah, almost certainly, yeah.
Because as you say, practically, to unload the van every day is not... practical. Right, let's stay in the south of the county in a criminal damage investigation.
Yes, this incident occurred at Tyrconnell Street in Donegal Town in and around 11:10pm on Wednesday the 22nd of October. So a resident of a property at that location, they woke up, they heard a loud noise, only to discover that the concrete base of a plant pot had been thrown through the front window of their home. So we're appealing to anybody who might have been in that area with a dash cam to make that footage available to us. If anybody can assist with relevant information, we're asking them to contact Ballyshannon Gardaí on 071-985-8530. And that's a terrifying incident. You know, if you're in your bed in the dark at night, hear a bang, it's a terrifying incident.
I always think my couch invariably is always under the window. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine that coming in on top of me. And those responsible for that kind of activity is only a matter of time. It's incredibly illegal to begin with, but if you were to seriously injure or kill someone, it ramps it up significantly. Shall we stay in the south of the county in another criminal damage incident, this time in Bundoran?
Yes, so we're appealing for the assistance of the public in relation to incidents of criminal damage. These occurred on the Church Road, Bundoran, on Thursday the 23rd of October, shortly before 1am, so in around 5 to 1 in the morning. A van and a car that were parked at that location were set alight. And a third vehicle then that had been parked close by was also damaged as a result of the heat from the flames. So the fire brigade attended the scene, extinguished the flames, and fortunately nobody was hurt. We're appealing to anybody who might have travelled in that area with a dash cam between midnight and 1:30am on Thursday the 23rd of October to make that footage available to us. And again, if anybody can assist our investigation with any relevant information, they're asked to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071-985-8530.
Yep, indeed. Now, a car targeted this time, though, in Quigley's Point.
Yes, again, we're seeking the assistance of the public in connection with this incident. Criminal damage, it occurred on the L1951 road at Carroll Keel, Quigley's Point, on Sunday the 26th of October. So a car was parked outside a house in that area. It was damaged right along from the front to the back of the driver's side between 1am and 3am. Damage was caused to all of the panels and also to the wing mirror. So the damage would appear to have been caused by another vehicle. Mm. So it's believed that the vehicle involved would possibly have travelled onwards towards the R240, the Carndonagh Road, following the incident. We're appealing to anybody who might have been in that area between those times, again with a dash cam, to make that footage available to Gardaí. Should anybody become aware of a vehicle that has sustained unexplained damage to the driver's side, we're asking them to get in touch with us. It's most likely to be the side that would have sustained damage on the offending vehicle. Gardaí can be contacted in Buncrana on 932-0540 in connection with this incident.
And I know you've mentioned it a couple of times, but sometimes people, I don't know, for whatever reason, that confidential line's there all the time, 1-800-666-111. You leave a recorded message, really, and it's investigated from there. Dangerous driving incident being investigated.
Yes, we're appealing for witnesses to this incident of dangerous driving. It occurred at Main Street, Falcarra, on Thursday the 23rd of October, shortly after 11:35pm. So a van was travelling along the main street, the N56, when it was struck by a car that had just exited a side road. The driver of the second vehicle didn't remain at the scene, but instead they travelled onwards onto the R256. No injuries were reported, thankfully. Gardaí located the car in question, a Toyota Corolla. It was parked up a short time later in the Dunmore area and it was seized. So investigations are ongoing. We're appealing to anybody who may have travelled in the Falcarra area, particularly at Main Street, the N56, or on the R256 with a dash cam between 11pm and midnight on October 23rd to make that footage available to Gardaí. Any relevant information can be passed on via the Garda confidential line again or by contacting Ballyshannon Gardaí on 071-985-8530.
All right, now let's get on to some detections and a significant drug seizure recently, Grainne.
Yes, Gardaí from Donegal Divisional Drugs Unit carried out searches at a residence in the Letterkenny area on the evening of Saturday, October 25th. A large quantity of cocaine and cash were seized. One person was arrested and questioned in respect of the seizure and a file will now be submitted to the DPP for directions. So we would like to thank the public for their continued support and assistance with our efforts to tackle the sale and supply of controlled drugs in Donegal. Gardaí are appealing to anyone who has information in relation to the sale and supply of controlled substances in Donegal or the border region to contact the Donegal Divisional Drugs Unit on 9167100, the Garda Confidential Line on 1800 666 111 or any Garda station.
All right, interesting reminder of some services available, and that's how people who may have a hearing or a speech impairment to contact the emergency services.
Yes, so the 112, and it's something that I just thought I'd add this in because I just thought it might be something that people might not be aware of. The 112 SMS service. This enables deaf, hard of hearing and speech impaired people in the Republic of Ireland to send an SMS text message to the emergency call answering service. And it'll be passed then to the Garda Síochána, the ambulance service, the fire service or the Coast Guard. The ECAS operator will act as a relay between the texter and the required emergency service. So this service can be used in any emergency situation when a voice call may not be possible. And what sprung to my mind really, and this is anybody maybe who is a victim of domestic abuse,
was thinking
you
the
know,
same, yeah.
Similar instances such as that, this service can be used by them also. And remember, this is an emergency service. It should only be used in an emergency, you know, if a life's at risk or a crime or an incident is happening now and someone's in immediate danger. You can pre-register your details with this service. You can register your air code, medical history and other personal information, for example.
So presumably, if someone had hearing loss or maybe, God forbid, had a stroke and the speech was impaired, and they were living independently or enjoyed their independence, they could pre-register for this, and obviously that front loads a lot of the information. I think that would be quite advisable and quite comforting to know that they, or if you know, if they didn't want to scramble for hearing aids or whatever it might be. There's a lot of reasons why this would be a useful service for either the individual or maybe a family member or friend who will pass this information on to them.
Most certainly. And it's not mandatory that you pre-register, but it's of great use to the operators. You know, should an emergency occur and they have your next of kin and they have
my contact,
all of that attached, registered, attached to your mobile number. You know, that's of great assistance to them. So as you say, look, we're asking your listeners to share this information with family and friends who may need to use this service. And if anybody wants to find out more details, they can check it out at www.112.ie.
Right, okay. Now, Gordon, to you, Halloween can be a fun time of the year. I'm not really convinced of that, to be honest with you. I could let this one slide quite easily.
It can. Well, after the fifth or sixth trick-or-treat or ring your doorbell, it's fun up until that point.
Depends trick-or-treat as much. Like, I talk to people who've shed loads of stuff. They end up putting about 3 stone after Halloween on. There's not as much trick-or-treating going on. I think we're also blooming cautious and scared and worried and don't want to offend. And I don't know. It depends where you live, doesn't it?
I think I was actually discussing this with somebody yesterday. I think even in the area I'm living in, not so much anymore.
Caroline, do you see many trick-or-treaters? No, not many.
I think maybe a lot of the estates. I know myself, even, you know, from years bringing my fellow out trick-or-treating, that you'd see a lot of them maybe even from the countryside, they seem to be dropped off in the town.
Well, how else are we going to get sweets?
I just drop the kids off
and say, bring daddy home sweets to the shticks.
I suppose the housing estates too are lit up. You know, it's not as dangerous as out the countryside.
It's got nothing to do with Gardaí. I'm actually just asking you as a resident, as a mum. You just don't see it as much. But anyway, apparently Halloween can be a fun time of the year, but...
But unfortunately for some, it is far from fun. And that's true due to the misbehaviour of a few. So the illegal use of fireworks can, and it does, cause great distress to older people, pets, families. We're asking parents, please ensure that you know where your kids are. Conduct regular searches of their bags this week for fireworks. Stay alert, talk to your kids about the dangers associated with fireworks and just about the injuries that can be sustained, you know, from the use of fireworks.
If you're not motivated by the concern of scaring other people or their pets, think of their eyes and their fingers.
Safety, you know. Yeah, and fireworks are not only dangerous, and this is something maybe the parents could explain to their children also. There are severe criminal penalties for anybody who is found guilty of the offence of igniting illegal firework, throwing an ignited firework at a person or property, or possession of illegal fireworks for sale and supply. So these penalties are fines of up to €10,000 and 5 years imprisonment. So they're very hefty fines associated with them. We're asking if anybody comes across fireworks for sale or any type of antisocial or illegal behaviour in the run-up to or at Halloween, please alert us immediately. You can contact us on a 24/7 basis in Letterkenny on 9167100, Milford on 9153060, Buncrana on 9320540, or Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530, and always call 999 or 112. to in an emergency.
Yep.
And just when we were on the topic there about trick-or-treating. So we're asking parents to ensure that their children are accompanied by an adult while out trick-or-treating and ensure that they wear some high-vis item if most of their costumes are going to be black, you know, and it's very hazardous out and about trick-or-treating at night time wearing black clothing. So make sure they have armbands yeah. on, that they have a glow stick or they have a high-vis vest or something on.
And I suppose
so they can
those
be seen.
First on their own, just be conscious to keep extra vigilance because it's inevitable that someone will go out and not be quite as visible as they should.
And I think the children then in their excitement, you see them time.
Well,
you know,
it.
They're scooting across roads, they're running, they're trying to beat their mates to the next house and they're running and just yeah. talk to them about road safety too, not to be running, walk, stay yeah. on the footpaths.
And that doesn't mean things can't be really great fun either. I mean, you know, sometimes when the advice is front loaded like it is now, it sounds like it's part of people. No,
party
go
poopers.
Out. Like I'm saying people should go out, trick or treat, more go, but it's just to be careful. It's just the basic stuff that's never ever changed since the invention of cars and all this crack. Right, a couple of questions, if you don't mind. A caller asks, there are flashing orange lights on ordinary work vans driving about. Is that legal? This is not uncommon. You'll see the flashing mm-hmm. orange lights. What is the story with them and the legality?
Yes, so there are a certain amount of vehicles who are allowed, they're permitted to use amber beacons. And these are people who are working in hazardous situations, such as roadworks, refuse collection, breakdown services. They use these lights to alert other road users. So these lights indicate a need for caution. Drivers should slow down and be prepared to stop. The use of amber flashing lights is restricted to specific vehicles as defined in the road traffic regulations and they're for warning purposes. They're not for granting emergency priority like blue lights are.
Mm.
So vehicles that are permitted to use these beacons, amber beacons, are breakdown vehicles, road clearance vehicles, for example, for snow, ice or sweeping. Roads works vehicles, so these would be vehicles used in connection with the construction, maintenance and improvement of roads or in connection with the provision and maintenance of water supply, sewage and drainage services. Vehicles for the collection and disposal of refuse. Vehicles used for providing or maintaining gas, electricity or telephone services and customs and excise patrol vehicles. So these amber beacons alert other drivers to the presence of a potentially hazardous or slow-moving vehicle off and on or near the road. And they're used to ensure that these vehicles are seen, particularly when the weather conditions are very poor or at night time. They're intended to prevent accidents by prompting other drivers to exercise more caution around the working vehicle. So if this listener, if they're aware of a vehicle that's using an amber beacon and they believe that it is being used in contravention of the road traffic regulations, then they should report the matter to Gardaí and we can check it out.
Okay. Garda vetting, why so many times? I completely agree Garda vetting is so important. It keeps everyone safe and accountable. But I'm wondering, why do facilitators have to go through the Garda vetting process multiple times for different organisations or venues? Each application takes time and care to fill out and it's usually the same information over and over. Wouldn't it make more sense to have a central system where you're vetted once a year, receive a clearance number and can present that wherever you work or volunteer? It could really cut down on admin while keeping people safe. I'm not saying vetting shouldn't be done, just that maybe it could be done smarter. And this it's not just in terms of volunteering, like you have to get vetted for every organisation in some cases. Or if I was speaking to a bus driver on this show, whereby to drive three different buses, they needed effectively vetting three times. But anyway, I suppose all we can do is reflect on what the rules are.
The rules that are in place, yes. So if you're working or volunteering with children or vulnerable adults in Ireland, you have to go through the Garda vetting process. So this process checks if you have a criminal record or any history that may pose a threat to vulnerable people. The Garda Síochána National Vetting Bureau handles this process and they send a vetting disclosure to the organisation that you're involved with. Separate vetting is generally required for each job as vetting is non-transferable between the different organisations. There are exceptions, such as when two organisations may have a joint agreement allowing one to conduct the vetting for both. So it's understandable that the frustration felt at the need to be re-vetted, but in order to work at different organisations and time again, as you said, you're getting vetted maybe multiple times a year. But the importance of keeping vulnerable people safe is of paramount importance, and that's exactly why such a stringent system is in place. I believe the Garda vetting system is currently being reviewed with the view to strengthen the process around re-vetting requirements. And there was a part of that question there that said that the details are usually the same. And I suppose in some cases the details aren't the same. You might get vetted maybe in January or February, and the suggestion there would be to get vetted once a year. You know, you could always have a conviction within the year.
Yeah.
your address could have changed. You could have changed name. You could have got married. Your name might have changed by deeds poll. You know, different
types. Yeah, I suppose me and you can only deal with what's there at the moment. But if there is a review of it, there might be a mechanism, like, say, for instance, with insurance details where it could be updated or revoked or something. But we and you can't change that.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I don't think it's well above our pay scale, though I'd say you're earning more than I am.
Well, I don't know about that.
Listen, thanks so much, Grania, as always, for coming up and keep us updated with everything. And we'll chat to you again really soon. That's Garda Grania Doherty there of the Letterkenny Garda Station. That was Community Garda Information, which will be available for you to watch and listen back later on various platforms. And it's back live with you on the show next Tuesday, just after the 10 o'clock news. We'll be back after the break. Mr. Kieran Sweeney is a consultant neurosurgeon specialising in neuro-oncology and epilepsy surgery. Kieran, thank you for holding. Sorry for holding you so long. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for having me on the show.
Right. And this year, as part of National Brain Tumour Awareness Week, Brain Tumour Ireland have developed a new guide to help spot the signs and symptoms of brain tumours in children and in teenagers. Like, we would like to think it never happens, Kieran, but of course, sadly, it does.
It does. I suppose with regards to the incidence of brain tumours in children and young adults, it's up there at the same level as leukemia. So it's one of the most common types of tumours that we come across in children. Probably somewhere between 50 to 65 children in Ireland a year are diagnosed with a new tumour of the brain or spine.
And we're not catching everyone then either, I presume, if we're trying to get the word out there as to what to spot.
Well, the part of the Brain Tumour Awareness Week, within that, we have the Heads Up Public Awareness, which is really to give parents and patients and general medical practitioners, such as GPs and emergency doctors, and some ideas of some of the symptoms that can happen, because some of the symptoms that we come across, they can be very vague and they share a common origin, and particularly the very mild types of symptoms such as headaches, nausea, vomiting, some balance problems, and that they can always be put down to a viral illness. But there's some subtle differences that we're hoping to get out there across to people and just to help.
I'll leave it to you, Kieran,
to get awareness.
Yeah, go on. Say, well, you get that info out, whatever you think's most valuable to get to the public.
So the symptoms, I mean, I suppose really depend on the age, from baby all the way up to a young adult. But particularly in small babies, there can be very subtle symptoms such as an increasing in head circumference, or what we call the soft spot or the anterior fontanelle, that can become full. And then the other symptoms that can progress that are shared across all age groups would be recurring nausea, vomiting, and some lethargy, balance disturbance, and sometimes there can be fits or seizures. And then there can be other things such as abnormal eye movements, or particularly when young children or certainly adolescents are going through puberty, there could be a delay in puberty. And so there's a whole range of very vague symptoms. But the most important thing would be that's to discern between a viral illness that can naturally, we all get some nausea, vomiting, balance disturbance and lethargy or tiredness. And a viral illness is a very brief, short, self-limiting, whereas the symptoms that can be with a brain tumor in this sort of brackets, and they progress and become worse, and they don't improve, and sometimes and it wouldn't be an uncommon story that we hear in your surgery where these types of symptoms have been grumbling on for weeks and months, and only to reach a point where something is very, very obviously wrong, and the diagnosis is made.
So I presume then this is about retaining contact with your GP then, is it? Because, I mean, a lot of what you've talked about there, you would want to be seeing a GP to begin with, I think, and maybe the GP in the first instance might prescribe something, I don't know, but you need to stay on top of it. Is that Is that how we can best ensure we follow your advice?
Absolutely. So a viral illness is a short, brief illness that's self-limiting, and something that lasts more than several days, and that's open to interpretation depending on severity of symptoms. And things should always be reevaluated. So sometimes there may be a bit of a red ear, a little cough, sniffles, and that may fit in with a mild viral infection. But what should clear up. That should not persist. Mm. It should not progress into more severe symptoms. So anything that deviates away from, I suppose, the non-specific viral illness diagnosis, we should always be reevaluating. And was that first assumption correct? And to go back and I suppose the NHS have a very good rule, the rule of threes. I think it was brought out just recently, where if patients represent to a medical practitioner on the third occasion with the same symptoms, then that medical practitioner should reevaluate the initial diagnosis or seek a second opinion.
Mm, okay, yeah, that's interesting. And that's a message almost directly to GPs as well, I suppose. There's much more information on brain... Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Kieran.
But not just GPs, but doctors that work in the emergency department. Any frontline doctor, and where neurosurgery is not your specialty.
Understood.
So it's impossible to be masters of all trades.
Yeah, for sure.
And this is where the public awareness comes in.
Okay, braintumorireland.com. Thank you very much indeed. That's Dr. Kieran Sweeney. He's a consultant neurosurgeon specializing in neuro-oncology and epilepsy surgery at Donegal Man as well. And listen, I know, especially if you're a new parent or if you've been parenting at all, it can be scary, and stories like that there fill people with dread. It kind of does me too, but we need to have that info, don't we? And it is relatively rare, of course, 50, 60 odd cases a year, but it does happen. And I presume the sooner you get attention, the better. And that's the motivation for getting that info out there.